This morning I would prefer that you, or would ask that you would turn with me to Luke chapter 22, and look with me this morning at verse 19. Luke chapter 22, and look with me at verse 19. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The Lord's table that we are going to celebrate in a little while, near at the end of the service, has to do with remembrance. Jesus says, "Do this in remembrance of me." This morning I would like for us to think about holiness and the Lord's table. Holiness and the Lord's table. Back over in Leviticus chapter 11, and verses 45 and 44, I would read these verses. "For I am the Lord your God, you shall therefore sanctify yourselves." That's where we get the word saint from. "That you would sanctify yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any creeping thing that creeps on the earth. For I am the Lord who brings you up out of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." Now, the application of that, or the counter to that, is over in 1 Peter chapter 1 in verses 15 and 16. 1 Peter chapter 1 in verses 15 and 16. Where we read these words, "But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct," verse 16, "because it is written, be holy, for I am holy," and that is a quote, obviously, from Leviticus 11, 44 and 45. What is God calling us to? Well, look at Romans chapter 6. That may help us understand what God means by holiness. Romans chapter 6, and looking at verses 19 and 22. Romans chapter 6, 19 and 22. "I speak in human terms." This is the Apostle Paul speaking to the Roman believers. "I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness." Verse 22, "And now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness. And the end, everlasting life." When you and I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we were justified. Justification means that God declares that you and I are righteous. Now, I use the word declaration. He declares that we are righteous. God puts righteousness to our account. God credits us with His righteousness. Now, the point that God has to do then is to change us into His righteousness. He has to change us into righteousness. That is what is taught in the Word of God is progressive sanctification. God sanctifying, God cleansing, God restoring, God making us as we ought to be. One last passage before I put my outline on the screen, and that would be over in 1 Thessalonians, Philippians, Colossians, and then 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 13. "So that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." Then look over in chapter 4 and verse 7. chapter 4 and verse 7. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. You and I are to be holy people. Now, why be holy? Why be holy? Because God has called us to be holy. Holiness is the reason for Calvary. What in the world is Calvary? Well, let's look at it as it's explained by Paul in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 10. Hebrews 12 and verse 10. But before I read that, let me read the crucifixion to you. Verse 2 and verse 3. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Now, God sent his son Jesus to the cross. Calvary, another name for that place where the cross was set on that hill, also known as Golgotha, the place of the skull. And many of you have seen those pictures that show what looks like the top half of the skull, all in the bone, all in the cliff and in the appearance there, and then the crucifixion that was on top of that knoll. It looked like crosses sticking out of the top of a bald-headed skull. That's where Jesus died for you and me. That's where he was crucified. The Holy God desired a holy people. Only the Holy God could become a satisfactory sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. You and I are born in sin. We're not born because our mother and father sinned. That may be the case, but that is not always the case, obviously. But we are born in sin. We are born with an old sin nature. We start out lying as a little baby, crying and making it sound like we're dying. And all we want is a little attention. So we start out by lying, even as babies and infants, don't we? And we grow up lying, and we grow up cheating, and we grow up doing a lot of other terrible things that God forbids and God calls sin. And so you and I need to be saved from our sins. So Jesus died on the cross. Now, God wants a holy people, and he wants us to remain holy. Now you say, well, I want to be holy, but I know I'm not holy. I know I have an awful lot of problems in my Christian life, and I'm just struggling constantly to be the person God wants me to be. Yes, it is a struggle. Nobody says it's not a struggle. It is a struggle. It's work. There's no such thing as sinless perfection in this life. But that is the goal that we are to work toward. That is the goal that God set for us up here. He gave us that righteous position. He purchased it. He applied it to our account. It's credited to our account, yes. But we have not attained the position of holiness in our Christian life unless we have learned some things. Number one, you and I are washed by the reading and the studying of this book. As you and I read the book every day, as you and I meditate upon it, as you and I memorize the truths of this sacred book, you and I become cleaner and cleaner. We stay cleaner longer. I think all of you have heard the story of the grandfather and the grandson who went for a little picnic along the brook while they were fishing. And as they were talking, and because you don't catch a lot of fish, obviously, you get to talk a lot when you're fishing, the little boy said to his grandfather, he says, I have so much trouble staying clean inside. Grandpa emptied out the little picnic basket, and he said, go down and dip that in the water and bring me a basket full of water. The little boy had no idea what Grandpa was telling him to do, and it didn't make a whole lot of sense. And so he scoops up water in the picnic basket, and by the time he gets back to Grandpa, it's all leaked out. Grandpa said, "Well, go try it again." And the little boy took his picnic basket down, and he dipped it in the water, and he brings it up, and by the time he gets back, most all the water is drained out. And the third time, and the fourth time, by the fifth time, almost all the water was still in the basket when he got back to Grandpa. Grandpa said to him, "Now you understand. When you dip your life in the blood of Jesus Christ, it's washed. But it don't hold very much righteousness. But the more often that you dip your picnic basket of life in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the more often that you go to the well of this book, the more it sticks inside of us, the longer it holds." Now, you say, "Well, I plastic picnic basket?" No, I'm talking about the old kind. The wicker basket, like we're going to pass for an offering a little bit later on. The kind that are hand-woven and made out of wicker, and when they swell up, they hold water. And you get the picture there. The more you and I put this in, the more it cleanses us, number one. And the little boy noticed the picnic basket was really clean after this exercise, but the more it holds also. The more you read God's Word, the more it sticks. And the more it sticks, the easier it is to say no to the temptations and testings of sin. A couple of weeks ago, I preached on that, didn't I? On temptation. And you and I are constantly being tempted to sin. We're being tempted from the inside, we're being tempted from the outside, and we're being tempted by the devil himself. The world, that's the outside, the flesh, that's the inside, and the devil. And most often we want to blame the devil when the reality, most of our sin and most of our temptation comes from in here, doesn't it? With what we see and what we hear. And what we feel, and what's going on in here. And so we need to be cleansed. We need to be washed through the washing of the water of the Word. The reference I put there is Titus 3, 5, and 6. "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit." And then over in Ephesians, it talks about the washing of the water of the Word as well, and also in James. And then we are to walk in the Spirit. We're to walk in the Spirit. God wants us to be holy through washing us by His Word, through the work of the Holy Spirit in our daily life. Where does the Holy Spirit live? If you're a child of God, He lives in you. He lives in me. The Holy Spirit is in us. Now you say, "Well, I don't understand much about Him." That's why I keep telling you, read John 14, 15, and 16. It tells you all about the work of the Holy Spirit living in us. And then we go to Ephesians chapter 4 and chapter 5. And it talks about walking, 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 walking. And it tells us to put off the old clothes of sin and to put on the new clothes of righteousness, which was made for us in Jesus Christ. And then Ephesians chapter 6 tells me to put on the armor, the breastplate of righteousness, I mean the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. I believe Dr. Jeremiah is going to be talking about that on Sundays. For the next few weeks, the armor. He started it this morning. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the shoes of the gospel, and then the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God and the shield of faith. And then it says, having done all to stand, stand and be prepared to fight the enemy, who is Satan himself. And then number three, how else do I obtain holiness? I do it through confession of sin. and my failures. You say, yeah, but preachers are holy. Oh, really? This preacher's got just as many temptations as anybody in this room. And if you got a temptation about anything, I have it too. I'm not holy except by the same method that I just told you. The Word of God, walking in the Spirit, yielded to the Holy Spirit, leading and guiding you and helping you to walk. And then through confession when we keep falling, which is every day. There's not a day goes by that you and I don't fall into sin. And we have to confess it. Confess your sin one to another and pray for one another. That's point number one. Point number two, holiness is the reason for Calvary. Number two, holiness is the reason for remembering. Remembering. And that takes us back to our text verse this morning, which is Luke chapter 22, verse 19. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Remembrance. Holiness is the reason for remembering. What are we to remember? Well, the first thing we're to remember is the scourging of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ didn't just get nailed to a cross. But you recall that Pilate was attempting to appease them and not have to send Jesus to crucifixion. And so he thought he could appease them by letting them watch him scourge Jesus. And so he gets those big burly Roman soldiers with those cat of nine tails and watches them just wail on the back of the Lord Jesus, ripping and tearing his back and his shoulders and the back of his head and his chest to smithereens, turning him to hamburg. Did that satisfy that crowd? No, it just enraged them more, didn't it? It caused them to become even more vehement in their cry, "Crucify him, crucify him." He let a criminal go free and said, "I'll let the criminal go free." And they said, "No, give us Barabbas." And so Jesus had to be crucified. And so remember his scourging. Remember his suffering. Jesus said in that verse 19, he said, "This is my body." I want you to know something. And there may be some here who have been taught differently, but let us do it the proper way. This that we are going to do is we partake of the bread and then we partake of the cup. That is not the physical body of Jesus. That's a memorial. It's a reminder. You go to a park and there's a statue of a soldier or a statue of someone. That's not them. They're long dead. But that's a reminder. It looks like them, but in bronze or in stone. Well, this looks like Jesus' body. This piece of broken, unleavened bread, as was prescribed by Jesus, is to remind us of his body, which took all of that abuse, that scourging, being nailed to that cross, hanging there and suffering for the sins of all the world. And so we have to remember Christ's sacrifice as well. We remember his scourging. We remember his suffering. We remember his sacrifice. And it says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 and 4, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Now, just remind you, the Scriptures is the Old Testament. When that was written, the New Testament hadn't been written yet. It was just starting to be written. So when you read the word Scriptures in the writing of Paul, he's talking about the Old Testament. And it says that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. What Scriptures? Isaiah 53, for one. Isaiah 53, which says he bore our sins in his own body. He took the stripes. He took the nails. He suffered. The last point I need to make before we serve communion this morning is holiness is the reason for examining ourselves. And I read this so often in communion service that many of you have it memorized too, I'm sure. But from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, let me remind you, Paul got this from Jesus, not from Peter, James, and John. He may have conferred with them, but he says that he received this directly from the Lord. For I received from the Lord, verse 23. He said, I received from the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Verse 25, this is the cup of the covenant in my blood. Do this as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Do you see the important thing I want you to see? Remembrance. Now we come down to this matter of eating and drinking guiltily, unworthily. Verse 27. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, what in the world is that? Will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, then let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep or have already died. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. All right? Let's put up something. We need to examine ourselves. We need to examine our living. We need to examine our language. And we need to examine our loves. What do we love? What do we love? I didn't say who do you love. I said what do you love? What things do you allow in your life that hinders you from being holy? Now, who do you love? Who do you love more than God? Who do you love more than the Lord Jesus Christ? Who do you love more than holiness? Who do you love more than righteousness? You have to think about the what. What do I love more than God? What do I love more than holiness? Who do I love more than God? Who do I love more than holiness? Because if anything comes before God in your life and in my life, that is called idolatry. And God has many, many harsh things to say about idolatry in the Word of God. You worship your wife or your husband or your children or your parents more than you worship the Lord. You worship your new acquisitions, your house, your car, your job, more than you worship the Lord. See, these are important things to ask yourself as we examine ourselves. And then, once you've examined yourself, then you come running to 1 John 1:9, which says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us bow in prayer. Father God, help us now to confess any and all of our sin before you. Help us right now, Lord, to tell on ourselves, to be a tattletale, but not about anyone else, but only about ourselves. Help us to confess our sin, that you might be ready to free us from our sin, to cleanse us from our sin, to wash us from our sin. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.